Welcome to Lexington, Missouri, and to Tourists, Towers, and Tombstones, our walking and driving tour of the Old Neighborhoods Historic District and Machpelah Cemetery. For a safe, enjoyable experience, please listen carefully to the driving directions and follow all safe road practices. Keep in mind that all roads are active thoroughfares. Feel free to turn on your emergency blinkers so other drivers are alerted that you are going slowly. Watch closely for approaching traffic, cross traffic, and pedestrians, particularly children playing or crossing streets. Most of the points of interest on this tour are private homes. Please enjoy viewing them from the comfort of your car or from the sidewalk. And now, enjoy Tourists, Towers, and Tombstones.
This driving or walking tour is divided into two segments. The first segment, covering the Old Neighborhoods Historic District, is 1.9 miles in length, including returning to 13th and Main downtown by the shortest route. The second segment, going to and through Machpelah Cemetery with return to downtown by the shortest route, adds 1.1 miles for a total tour length of 3 miles. This tour begins at the Lafayette County Courthouse at 10th and Main Streets. Go east from the courthouse on Main Street to the intersection of 13th and Main. Before crossing this intersection, stop if walking or pull over and park if driving to hear the introduction to this tour.
Visitors to Lexington often ask, where can we see the old homes? There's no better place to start than the Old Neighborhoods Historic District. This part of Lexington grew up between the old original town of Lexington, platted in 1822, and the new part laid out in 1836, which moved the town center much closer to the river and its commerce. Originally, the Santa Fe Trail ran through this neighborhood. Later, the Battle of Lexington overflowed onto some of its streets. From the late 1800s into the early 1900s, this area filled up with homes large and small to become a neighborhood with its own corner stores, schools, and traditions. Think of a porch swing on a lazy summer afternoon. Children and dogs roaming free. The Iceman's wagon. The first automobiles chugging along its tree-lined streets. Times have changed, of course, but today it is still a neighborhood of families and friends who invite you to enjoy your time among them. On Main, Franklin, and South Streets, you'll see homes built in virtually every popular architectural style from the 1830s to the present. It's like a Russell Stover's candy box of assorted chocolates, each with a different flavor. There are many impressive homes along the route, but often merchants' mansions stand right next door to clerks' cottages. Look for the architectural details in both. By the way, I'll be using a lot of architectural terms during the tour. Greek Revival refers to the style of most homes built prior to the Civil War. Italianate was a style that became popular just before the war and for a few years after. The Queen Anne style was popular in the last decades of the 19th century, and it's easier to spot than describe. Some Queen Annes are lavished with gingerbread trim. Some have towers or turrets. But as one writer noted, this crowning touch is not necessary to make a house a queen. Even simple cottages can be described as Queen Anne if they sport a stained glass window or a few turned porch posts. So bear with me as I try to point out the significant features of these homes without turning you off with terminology.
Get ready to cross 13th Street now. If walking, cross over to the left or north side of the street. If driving, go through the intersection and pull over immediately and stop just before you get to the Made Right Drive-In on your right. Be sure to turn on your emergency blinkers now. During most of the tour, you will be driving very slowly to hear the narrative. Please wave cars behind you past and be very cautious when pulling out into traffic.
The towering 100-year-old cottonwood trees on your left mark the boundary of the Goose Pond, a natural ravine and slough. It was turned into an athletic field in 1913 through a tremendous community effort involving minstrel show fundraisers and mule teams from the surrounding farms. During the Depression in the 1930s, WPA workers added the concrete bleachers. Across the street to your right is a Made Right drive-in that has been a Lexington landmark since the mid-1940s. You might want to stop by later for one or more of their signature loose meat sandwiches. The Made Right was a hangout for students at the 1920s Lexington High School, later middle school, that once stood on the northwest corner of 16th and Main on your left. The remaining structure set back from the street was the Vocational Agriculture Building.
Now move ahead slowly toward the intersection of 16th and Main.
Look to your left, past the former site of the high school, to see the white tower of the Zion African Methodist Episcopal Church, a block north of Main on 16th Street. Founded by former slaves, it was once the largest African American church in Lafayette County, but closed its doors in 2006. It has been on Missouri Preservation's most endangered list since 2011, but local preservationists are hopeful that it can be repurposed and preserved. On the corner on your right, at 1519 Main, is an 1845 Greek Revival house that served as a dormitory in the 1880s for the first out-of-town students at Wentworth Military Academy. Main Street was originally called North Street and was a relative late bloomer when it came to residential development. Most of the larger homes you'll see in the blocks ahead were built for prosperous merchants and professionals in the late 1800s and early 1900s in a variety of architectural styles.
Now cross 16th Street, going very slowly to hear about the houses in the next block.
Crossing 16th Street, on the right at 1601 Main, is a 1915 classic revival house built by a young attorney, William Aull, Jr., a descendant of one of Lexington's leading families. It has an arched entry with Doric columns flanked by pergola-covered porches. 1615 Main next door was also built in 1915 with a tiled roof and Doric columns on the entry. On the left, at 1608 Main, is a two-story Greek Revival dating from the 1850s, followed by two red brick Victorians from the 1890s at 1614 and 1616 Main. Back again on the right, at 1617 Main, is a grand classic Revival house dating to 1903, with two-story Ionic columns and a somewhat eclectic combination of styles, all original. On the left, at 1622 Main, is a shingle-style Queen Anne house built in 1906 with decorative art glass windows and a period color scheme. Crossing 17th Street, on the left at 1702 Main, is the impressive classic revival home built by William Aull, Sr. in 1904. He was the son of pioneer merchant John Aull and founded a law firm that still exists today. Continuing on the left, at 1714 Main, is a restored Queen Anne home dating from the 1880s, one of three that once stood on this block. Crossing 18th Street, on the left is the Romanesque Revival Immaculate Conception Roman Catholic Church built in 1898. It replaced earlier parish churches on Highland Avenue. By the turn of the century, it had grown to be the largest congregation in town after many immigrants from Catholic countries such as Ireland and Italy came to work in the soft coal mines surrounding Lexington. On the right, at 1809 Main, is a neoclassic revival house built in 1911 by Dr. Caius Tacitus Ryland, descendant of an old Lexington family. His grandfather was a Missouri Supreme Court justice who ruled on the Dred Scott case, ultimately decided by the United States Supreme Court. Dr. Ryland was a beloved physician, and many babies delivered by him had Ryland as their middle name.
As you approach 19th Street, prepare to turn right after passing the house at 1821 Main on the next corner on your right.
At 1821 Main is a late Victorian home dating to about 1895 with beautiful stained glass windows. The ornate fountain in the yard is believed to have originally stood in front of the William H. Russell Mansion on South Street, which you'll hear more about later.
Now, turn right onto 19th Street. If walking, use the right side of the street. Go one block to Franklin Avenue. Then turn right onto Franklin, walking on the right side of the street. Go to the house at 1814 Franklin. Stop or park there.
When the new town of Lexington was platted in 1836, Franklin Avenue was intended to be the main street and was made wider than the parallel streets. As you proceed west, note the home on the right at 1814 Franklin. It was built around 1880 and features an oriel window, decorative brick coins at the corners, iron cresting on top of the porches and bay window, and an ornate cast iron fence. In recent years, this was the home of the late Ike Skelton, a Lexington native who served 16 terms in the United States Congress from 1977 to 2011, representing Missouri's 4th District. He was a graduate of Lexington High School and attended Wentworth Military Academy. He went on to become chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, one of the most powerful positions in Congress, but he never called any place but Lexington home.
Now, move slowly forward toward the intersection of 18th and Franklin.
On the left, the brick house with the white picket fence at 1805 Franklin was built around 1900 as a duplex, with separate homes on the upper and lower levels. It has now been restored as a single-family home. On the right, at 1802 Franklin, is the Boer's Store, a former neighborhood grocery. Be sure to notice the large cat painted on the west side. This was said to be a signal for hobos during the Depression that food was available here. Wentworth cadets have traditionally repainted the cat as it fades. Crossing 18th Street, the house at 1724 Franklin on your right is one of the oldest in this block. A Greek revival dating to 1840 with a sandstone foundation and authentically reconstructed porch.
Now, cross 17th Street and stop or park just past the intersection in front of 1622 Franklin.
Crossing 17th Street on the right at 1622 Franklin is a two-story red brick Greek Revival home built prior to the Civil War with numerous Victorian modifications. Across the street on the left at 1621 Franklin is a high-style Italianate house built by one-time Lafayette County Sheriff Marquis W. Withers. The plaque on the house says it was built in 1854, although it's also dated as late as 1870. This cruciform house has elaborate cast iron lintels, an imposing front bay window, original shutters, and a cast iron fence from the Morrison Foundry in Lexington. After World War II, Major General William M. Hogue retired to this house. He was a Wentworth graduate who was in charge of building the Alcan Highway to Alaska. He also captured the last standing bridge over the Rhine River at Remagen on March 7, 1945. Continuing on the left are three American four-square homes with neoclassic detailing built in 1910. Notice that the sandstone retaining wall surrounding the Withers property continues in front of these homes, which were built on part of that property. The house at 1615 Franklin was the boyhood home of U.S. Representative Ike Skelton.
Now, move forward toward the intersection of 16th and Franklin, going slowly to hear about points of interest on both sides of the intersection.
On your left, at 1601 Franklin, is a house that started out as a one-story 1840s farmhouse with slave quarters in the loft. A two-story Greek Revival front was added later to face the newly laid-out street. By the time of the Civil War, it was home to the owner of the Morrison Foundry, burned by the Union forces because it made cannonballs for the Southerners. Crossing 16th Street on the left at 1521 Franklin is a three-story home built in the 1890s with an oriel window on the third floor and a wraparound veranda. It was a wedding present given to his daughter by prominent Lexington banker Robert Todman, whose house is just behind it on South Street. Across the street on the right at 1522 Franklin is a commercial building with East Lake-style detailing that was built around 1880 and served for many years as Bell's Market, another neighborhood grocery.
Now, cross 15th Street and stop or park in front of the brick home at 1408 Franklin.
Crossing 15th Street, the first three houses on the left include two Tudor-style cottages and a bungalow, built in the 1920s and 30s, after one of the large old lots was subdivided. On the right side of the street, past two Queen Anne homes from the late 1800s, is the George F. King Brick House at 1408 Franklin. It was built in 1866 by a Civil War veteran who served on the Union side and returned to Lexington after the war to run a tinware and stove shop. This house is an early Italianate with a long double-decker porch on the east side. A large greenhouse once stood on this property. Like many old homes, it has seen its share of tragedy. The original owner committed suicide in an outbuilding behind the house. Decades later, his granddaughter's husband and daughter died here from food poisoning.
Move forward now toward the intersection of 14th and Franklin. Cross this intersection and drive slowly along the next block. Stop at the intersection of 13th and Franklin.
At 1402 Franklin is another elaborate Queen Anne house with an encircling veranda, balcony, and turret on one corner. On the opposite corner at 1401 Franklin is a church built around 1920 by the German Lutherans in the mission style with art glass windows. Crossing 14th Street, you'll see on the right side at 1312 Franklin, the 1923 Romanesque Revival Trinity United Church of Christ with a large round stained glass window and a square bell tower. On the left, at 1301 Franklin, is a commercial building that was once the headquarters of Mattingly Brothers Stores Company. A chain of variety and discount stores started in 1914 that had more than 50 locations in towns across Missouri by the 1970s. Looking across 13th Street, you can also see the B&L Bank, built in the early 2000s in the postmodern style, with elements of the past, such as columns, brackets, and a portico or porch with a pediment.
Now turn left onto 13th Street. If walking, stay on the left side. Go one block and turn left onto South Street. If walking, use the right side of the street. Stop or park after turning onto South to hear more about this historic street.
The street in front of you was originally a branch of the Santa Fe Trail. It was called Main Street in the original town of Lexington, about half a mile further east, where the first and second courthouses were built. On your left, at 1308 South Street, is the former Methodist Church, built in 1860 in the Romanesque Revival style. It was remodeled in 1916 in a prairie style with geometric stained glass, light fixtures, and ornamentation in this style. A detached bell tower was added in 1939. Today, it is a private residence. At 1301 South was the Greek Revival mansion of William Bradford Waddell. After the Pony Express failed and the firm of Russell Majors and Waddell went broke, he retired there, but soon sold it to the Baptist Female College. It was eventually remodeled into a Second Empire masterpiece with a mansard roof, central tower, and wings on both sides. After the Civil War, a young lady named Martha Young was a student there, majoring in art and music and becoming proficient in the piano, a skill she passed on to her son, President Harry S. Truman. After the school closed in 1916, the building was briefly used by Wentworth Military Academy before being converted into apartments.
Now, continue moving slowly forward toward the intersection of 14th and South Streets.
The next house on the right, at 1317 South Street, was built around 1845. Cannonballs went through its walls during the Battle of Lexington. Later, it became the music conservatory for the Baptist Female College next door. The two-story columned porch was added in 1918, after it had again become a private residence. Still later, it was home to a great nephew of Daniel Boone, whose rifle supposedly hung over one of the doors. Carrie Boone Nelson, a noted 20th century sculptor, grew up here. Her bust of the Marquis de Lafayette, namesake of Lafayette County, is on display in the courthouse downtown. The duplex at 1321 and 1323 South Street is an East Lake-style Victorian dating to around 1880, although it may have been remodeled from an earlier structure. Crossing 14th Street, the corner on the left was originally the site of the mansion of William H. Russell, another of the partners in the firm that founded the Pony Express. It was torn down around 1920 and replaced by the smaller homes you see now. Only the stone retaining wall remains from this 20-room brick mansion, complete with formal garden, stable, and coach house. Continuing east, the house on the right at 1415 South is a classic center hall Greek revival from the 1850s with a Victorian cast iron fence. The next house on the right at 1421 South was built by Dr. Richard Buckingham in the 1840s. A Union man, he sold the house during the Civil War and moved to Denver, Colorado, where he later became mayor. This is a side hall Greek revival style with the original shutters. The porch with metal cresting was added in the Victorian era. This home was restored by Roger and Sandra Slusher, whose research on the history and architecture of Lexington helped make this tour possible. Here, Sandra Slusher describes the restoration effort.
When you first look at the house, it is from the front, you will notice that it is a Greek revival. It's a side hall Greek revival. Originally, when we bought the house, it had been Victorianized. In order to get it back to a Greek revival house, we had to take out the front door, which had really thick glass. It was a great big pane of thick glass. Whatever we took out of the house, we would reuse in the house somewhere. So the glass from the front Victorian door, we used as in the transoms. We took down all the ceilings in the building, and just to get rid of the manure, because the house had been left alone for 7 years. So the birds, the bats, the squirrels, and other critters had taken up residence upstairs in the attic. But being young and foolish, we bought it anyway. And it's true, it really did cost a lot to do this house. But still, Roger and I wanted to buy the house and restore it, and especially him.
Crossing 15th Street, on the right at 1515 South Street, is the former First Christian Church Disciples of Christ, built in 1870 in the Romanesque Revival style, with rounded arches over the door and windows. It is now a private residence. On the left, at 1512 South Street, is the oldest frame house in Lexington, dating to 1836. During the Civil War, it housed the Baptist Female College after federal troops commandeered the original school in the former courthouse in Old Town. They turned it into a hospital and pest house for soldiers quarantined for disease. Decades later, this was the home of the Todd Hunter sisters, whose father was a Confederate colonel who had 5 horses shot out from under him during the war. One of the sisters taught history at the high school into the 1960s from a decidedly Southern point of view. It was never the Civil War, always the War of Northern Aggression. The next home on the left, at 1522 South Street, is the largest, most elaborate Queen Anne house in Lexington. Built in the 1880s, it features both a turret and a tower, plus a wraparound veranda, stained glass windows, decorative chimneys, and pinnacles on the peaks. It was built by banker Robert Todman, who also has the most imposing monument in Machpelah Cemetery. Definitely a man who wanted to make an impression. Across the street on the right at 1525 South Street is a 2-story Greek Revival home built in the 1840s. During the Battle of Lexington, a Missouri State Guard cannon battery was set up in its front yard with a straight shot down what was then called College Street to federal headquarters at the Masonic College. In command of the battery was Captain Churchill Clark, a grandson of William Clark of Lewis and Clark fame. Churchill Clark withdrew from West Point to join the Southern forces. His unit, called the Boys Battery because of their youth, won a gold medal for knocking down the American flag at the Masonic College building. Clark later wrote about that in a letter.
I felt a little queer when I saw the Stars and Stripes fall by my own hand, but I still went on.
Clark must have felt much worse when a cannonball took off his head during the Battle of Pea Ridge a few months later. Crossing 16th Street, the house on the left at 1604 South Street was built in the 1850s in the new Italianate style. When it was remodeled, a cannonball was found behind a wall.
Now continue forward just past Amelia Street on your right.
The house on the right at 1603 South Street was built in the 1890s by banker Robert Todman as a wedding present for his son. Supposedly the bride didn't like it and they soon moved. Perhaps she just didn't like living across the street from her in-laws. Later, it became the Methodist Parsonage, and later still, Lexington's oldest bed and breakfast inn. Legend has it that this house was built from a Sears Roebuck kit. The legend may have arisen from the fact that this house, like thousands of other Queen Anne's across the country, was built from a design in a pattern book by architect George F. Barber. On the left, at 1616, and 1618 South Street are two more modest examples of the Queen Anne style dating from the 1880s, what might be called Princess Anne. The metal roof cresting and clustered brick chimneys are long gone, but the stained glass windows remain. On the right, at 1611 South Street, is an 1836 Greek Revival home with a distinctive Greek key frieze under the eaves. It's the oldest brick house in Lexington, built by John Taylor Waddell, a cousin of William Bradford Waddell. It's most associated with Ebenezer Pomeroy, a Santa Fe Trail trader who married a sister of the prominent Aull brothers. When she died in 1892, Maria Aull Pomeroy was said to be the richest woman in Lafayette County, with a fortune of several $100,000. The house sits back so far because it was originally on a farm that stretched south to include what is now part of Machpelah Cemetery. Crossing 17th Street, the house on the left at 1704 South Street was built around 1840 as the Baptist Parsonage, or Pastorium, as the Southern Baptists called it. William Bradford Waddell bought this house in 1869, and a few years later gave it to his son as a wedding present. The house remained in the family for five generations, and Waddell's great-great-granddaughter, Catherine Bradford Van Amburg, lived here until her death in 2013. In her later years, the same Catherine Bradford Van Amburg was the owner and guiding spirit of a Lexington institution known far and wide, Riley's Irish Pub. In the historic Keyhole Building on downtown's formerly notorious Block 42. Early on the morning of August 1st, 2013, the front part of the old building collapsed into Main Street. Just 4 hours later, Kathy Van Amburg passed away. The end of two Lexington legends. Still on the left, at 1708 South Street, is an 1858 Greek Revival that was the home of one of the Winkler brothers. German immigrants who arrived a few years before the Civil War and soon became very prominent businessmen. The home is still in the family today. Continuing on to the intersection with 18th Street, you'll see on your left the funeral home originally operated by the Winklers at 1720 South Street. It used caskets made in their furniture factory, which stood on the site of the parking lot just across 18th Street. In the years after the Civil War, it was said to be the largest furniture factory west of St. Louis, employing more than 50 people. Many homes in Lexington still have fine pieces of Winkler furniture. Crossing 18th Street, move through the next block, pausing briefly to note the house on the right at 1823 South, just before the intersection with 19th Street. This Dutch Revival house with its distinctive gambrel roof was built around 1915.
Now, cross 19th Street and stop or park in front of the home at 1909 South Street.
Crossing 19th Street, you come to a block of substantial homes built during the first decade of the 1900s. On the right, at 1909 and 1913 South Street, are two almost identical brick four-square houses built by the Wallace brothers in 1910. The house at 1909 South was briefly the home of Walmart founder Sam Walton. Around 1940, his parents lived here while Sam was a student at the University of Missouri, and his younger brother, Bud, attended Wentworth Military Academy. 1913 South was the home of Hugh Mattingly, one of the brothers who built up a chain of variety retail stores headquartered in Lexington. During one summer vacation, it is said that Sam became acquainted across the backyard fence with neighbor Hugh. Hugh liked the smart young man and advised Sam to think about getting into retail. The rest is history, or legend.
Now, move ahead and stop or park just before you reach the intersection with 20th Street.
Yet another pair of brothers figure in the histories of the last two houses we'll spotlight on this segment of the tour. In the late 1800s and early 1900s, the McGrew family owned the largest coal mines in the area and made a fortune supplying coal to the railroads and just about everyone else. On your left, at 1920 South, Brother James McGrew built a large, double four-square home in about 1904, with impressive groins and an oriel window on the west side. He apparently wanted to be close to his brother Edward, who had already built the large Queen Anne House across the intersection at 2001 South. This home has a three-story tower with a built-in flagpole, encircling veranda, beautiful stained glass windows, and an imposing location. Some say there is a tunnel, now walled up, running under the street between the two houses. It might have been built as part of a heating system, or perhaps just to make a good story. This concludes the Turrets and Towers segment of our tour. We hope you enjoyed your time with us. To continue with the tombstones of Machpelah Cemetery, or to return to downtown, listen to these instructions.
If you wish to return to downtown now and are driving, turn left on 20th Street and go two blocks north to Main Street. Turn left on Main Street to return to downtown. If walking, go back on South Street to 13th, then turn right and go two blocks to Main Street. To continue the tour to Machpelah Cemetery, turn right onto 20th Street. If walking, cross 20th and walk on the left side of the street. Go about 4/10 of a mile just past Jefferson Avenue, where you'll see the north gate of Machpelah Cemetery on your right. If walking, cross back over 20th Street here. Enter the cemetery through the stone gates. Stopping here by the rules and regulations sign just inside the gates, listen now to an introduction to Machpelah Cemetery.
Welcome to Machpelah Cemetery. The name Machpelah comes from the book of Genesis. It is a cave where Abraham and Isaac were buried, often called the Tomb of the Patriarchs. Certainly, you'll find many of Lexington's patriarchs and matriarchs buried in this long, hollowed ground. Machpelah Cemetery was incorporated in 1849 by a special act of the Missouri Legislature, making it the oldest incorporated cemetery in the state, and one of the oldest surviving Missouri corporations, period. The cemetery actually dates back to 1839, when John Taylor Waddell was interred in a family burial ground that was eventually expanded into what is now Machpelah Cemetery. If you're driving through the cemetery, please drive slowly and only on the surface roads. If you meet another vehicle, please pull carefully to the right to let the other vehicle pass, taking care not to damage any of the gravestones. If walking, you may wish to walk off the roads into the cemetery. Please be respectful of the graves and recognize that much of the old stonework and ironwork is in a delicate condition. As we move west from the gate along the North Perimeter Drive, the oldest part of the cemetery stretches away to your left. It is laid out in the form of a cross with a circle at the center. As we move around the perimeter of this section and back through the center, we'll point out some of the most notable gravesites that can be seen from the drive.
Now, continue walking or driving forward, past two intersecting roads on your left, until you come to the Saluda Memorial, close to the road on your right. This is a 3-foot-high brown stone marker with a bronze plaque. Pause the tour now until you find the Saluda Memorial.
This monument marks the common grave of many of those who lost their lives in the worst steamboat disaster on the Missouri River. On April 9, 1852, the steamboat Saluda exploded just after leaving Lexington's upper landing, killing an estimated 100 people. As the monument notes, Most of the casualties were Mormon converts from Great Britain, en route to Salt Lake City. Some of the known victims' names are listed, but many more were unidentified.
Now, follow the drive as it bends around to the left. Pass the next intersection and look to your left to see the 36-foot-tall gray granite obelisk marking the graves of Robert Taubman and his family. Pause the tour now until you come to the Taubman Monument.
This monument, which cost $5,000 in 1900, is the tallest in the cemetery and is said to be one of the tallest in Missouri. Taubman was a self-made man who grew rich as a banker and landowner and built the most opulent Queen Anne home in Lexington at 1522 South Street. He died on the last day of the 19th century, a veritable pillar of Victorian respectability. But just a few years later, in 1911, his son's sensational divorce made national newspaper headlines. Edwin Taubman's wife accused him of persuading her to drink beer in his office and demonstrate her high-kicking techniques to his friends. The 20th century had arrived in Lexington. Continue moving ahead until you reach the T intersection. Pause here and look across the road to your right to see the Monument to the Confederate Dead, dedicated in 1894. This granite memorial honors 50 Confederate soldiers, some killed during the Battle of Lexington, who are buried near the spot where it stands. On one side are crossed sabers and the inscription, "Here Heroes Sleep." On the opposite side are the names of 20 of the soldiers. The Monument Committee was headed by Susan Arnold McCausland, a young lady whose Confederate flag was confiscated when federal troops occupied Lexington in 1861. The original design called for a statue of a Confederate soldier on the pedestal, but this was never completed, probably due to lack of funds. Prior to the Battle of Lexington, Machpelah Cemetery itself was the site of a battle over the dead. When Missouri State Guard troops entered Lexington, a skirmish took place here in the cemetery as federal troops attempted to ambush them. A federal colonel named Wingo, who was wounded in the incident, admitted,
"The ball that tore my shoulder to pieces knocked all the love of military glory out of me."
Now, turn left at the T intersection, moving forward past the first intersection on your right and stopping at the second intersecting drive. On your right, you'll see the Gilead Roop marker, a pink stone monument with a bronze plaque. Pause the tour now until you reach the Gilead Roop marker.
On your right is the grave of Gilead Roop, a War of 1812 veteran who was commonly accepted as the first white settler in Lafayette County. In 1815, he built a log house near the river not far from the present site of Lexington. After being burned out by Indians, he built a new house 2 miles to the south and became a prosperous farmer. Many years after his death in 1847, his remains and the carved field rock marking his grave were moved to the Machpelah Cemetery. The monument was erected in 1929 by the Daughters of the American Revolution. Immediately ahead on the left, just past the northeast corner of this intersection, is the grave of Stephen G. Wentworth, founder of Wentworth Military Academy. Further along, to your left, look for the obelisk marking the gravesite of Alonzo W. Slayback. Slayback was orphaned at an early age, but graduated from Lexington's Masonic College. He became a lawyer and married one of the daughters of Pony Express founder William Bradford Waddell. With the advent of the Civil War, Slayback served under General Joe Shelby. When the war was over, he accompanied Shelby and the remnants of his brigade into Mexico. As they crossed the Rio Grande, they buried their battle flag in the river. Slayback soon returned and became a successful lawyer in St. Louis, where he and his brother founded the Veiled Prophet Parade and Ball. He had an ongoing feud with the editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch over slanderous comments published in the paper. On October 13, 1882, Slayback stormed into the editor's office with the intention of slapping him and demanding an apology. The editor picked up a revolver and shot Slayback through the heart, stating later that he had acted in self-defense. Slayback's remains were returned here to his hometown for burial. A little further along on the left, marked again by a granite obelisk and a bronze plaque, is the family plot of Slayback's father-in-law, William Bradford Waddell, partner in the freighting firm of Russell, Majors, and Waddell. The bronze plaque commemorates Waddell as a co-founder of the Pony Express. It appears that Waddell's partner, William H. Russell, came up with the idea. The Pony Express assured their immortality, but also bankrupted the firm when it failed after only 6 months. Waddell's wife, Susan, is buried beside him. A descendant of Susan Waddell put these words into her great-great-grandmother's mouth, based on stories handed down in the family.
Then Mr. Russell got involved with the Pikes Peak Express Company and in shady deals in Washington. He would be the ruination of my husband, I feared. In 1859, Senator Gwin approached Mr. Russell about a Pony Express to carry the mail to California. I've told my husband if he gets involved with this scheme, he has to first put $100,000 in the bank in my name. I really didn't trust any of Mr. Russell's plans.
William B. Waddell followed his wife's advice, ensuring that part of his fortune was saved when the firm went bankrupt. Nevertheless, he was hounded by creditors and died a disillusioned man in 1872.
Now move ahead, turning the corner to the left. Go to the next intersecting drive and turn left again onto this drive. Stop about 10 feet before you reach the wrought iron enclosure you will see surrounding several graves. Pause the tour now until you reach this enclosure.
Look to your right, about 50 feet into the cemetery, directly in front of a clump of lilac bushes. You may be able to spot the relatively modest granite shaft marking the grave of William Limerick. His gravestone was the only modest thing about Limerick. He made a fortune as a merchant and banker in the prosperous years before the Civil War, and built a 26-room mansion called Limerick Lawn, just southeast of Lexington. Completed in 1859, it cost almost $100,000, an enormous sum of money at the time. As described later by Limerick himself,
"My mansion is said to be the finest country residence in the state. It is lit with gas, made at the gas works on the place, has fine chandeliers throughout the building, marble mantels, range, furnace, speaking tubes and bells, fine bath, in a word, all the modern improvements."
Limerick supported the South when the Civil War began, and General Sterling Price spent a night at Limerick Lawn shortly before the Battle of Lexington. Limerick was later imprisoned for his Southern sympathies, and then exiled from Missouri for the duration of the war. He went to New York City, where he did very well speculating in gold, but detested living among the Yankee tribe. Returning to Lexington after the war, Limerick wrote to a friend,
"For myself, I am very pleasantly situated, but yet I am not satisfied. Everything is so altered here that I would like to get away. My house is too large for me now. I'm not making as much money as formerly, and my losses by the war have been enormous. But I do not see that we can help ourselves, as our property could not be sold except at a ruinous sacrifice."
Limerick remained in Lexington, dying in 1882. His mansion outside town, later renamed Linwood Lawn, has been restored to its antebellum glory. Moving ahead, just a little further on the right, you will see a plot enclosed by an elaborate cast iron fence, one of many in the cemetery that came from the Morrison Foundry on Lexington's riverfront. Notice the motif on the fence panels of a sheep or lamb laying beneath a weeping willow tree, symbols of innocence and mourning. This was the family plot of Arnold T. Windsor, Jr., a successful merchant and western trader before the Civil War. During the war, he won the contract to supply a Union fort in Colorado and was the sutler or storekeeper there, where he apparently also took an Indian wife. Because of his secessionist views, Windsor was accused of being disloyal, His goods were confiscated, and he was arrested and sent to St. Louis to be tried as a traitor.
Now, move ahead to the Circle Drive at the center of the cemetery. Stop before turning left onto the Circle Drive.
In the center of the circle, directly ahead, is the Skelton family plot, gravesite of U.S. Representative Isaac Newton Skelton IV, who represented Missouri's 4th District from 1977 to 2011. Ike Skelton is one of four U.S. representatives who are buried in Machpelah.
Now turn left onto the Circle Drive. Turn left again at the first intersection and stop.
On your right, on the southwest corner, is the All Family Plot, also surrounded by a cast iron enclosure. Here is buried John All, who founded the family firm, a thriving mercantile enterprise based on trading on the Santa Fe Trail. Also here is his brother, Robert, banker, merchant, and probably the most prominent Santa Fe Trail trader, whose grave is marked by a tall granite obelisk. Next to this is a smaller marble monument of their sister, Elizabeth, who left money to found the Elizabeth All Seminary, a Presbyterian school for women located on Highland Avenue in Lexington from 1860 through 1901.
Now move ahead. When you reach the next intersection, the outer drive, turn right. Proceed to the next intersection and turn left. Turn left again immediately onto the drive that leads to the South Gate and 20th Street. As you move toward the gate, stop at the next intersection, a gravel drive which leads through Memorial Park Cemetery, a later addition to Machpelah. Now look to your right, past the one-way sign, to see the Sandring Monument.
Albert W. Sandring was a German immigrant who married into the Winkler family and eventually took over the marble and granite monument works at the corner of 9th and Franklin Avenue. When he died in 1904, his widow commissioned a statue from Italy to grace the Sandring family monument. It shows a mournful woman who holds a wreath, a symbol of victory and death, and leans on an elaborately carved granite slab.
Now continue moving ahead toward the South Gate and 20th Street.
Immediately on your right is a cemetery directory kiosk that shelters a computerized terminal. By keying in names, the location of all recorded burials in the cemetery can be located. This concludes the tour of the Old Neighborhood's Historic District and Machpelah Cemetery. We hope you have enjoyed the experience and will take tours of the other historic districts of legendary Lexington.
To return to downtown Lexington, if driving, turn left on 20th Street out of the cemetery gate and go north to Main Street, then left on Main to 13th Street where the tour began. If walking, make your way back through the cemetery to the North Gate, go across 20th Street to the sidewalk, then go north on 20th Street to South Street. Go left on South Street to 13th Street, then right on 13th Street back to Main. Legends of Lexington Audio Tours is a production of the Lexington Community Arts Pilot Project, a three-way collaboration between the University of Missouri Extension, the University of Missouri, and the community of Lexington, Missouri, designed to promote community and economic development through the arts. This project is dedicated in loving memory to Roger Slusher. Roger was a lifelong Lexington resident and considered Lexington's historian. He taught history at Wentworth Military Academy and directed the Lexington Historical Museum and the Santa Fe Trail Association. With his wife, Sandra, Roger contributed invaluable resources and guidance to this project. Legends of Lexington was produced and directed by Houston Walkinshaw. Sound engineering by William J. Lackey, Assistant Teaching Professor of Composition and Managing Director of the Mizzou New Music Initiative. Scripting by Dan Cambridge and Houston Walkinshaw. And narration and voices by the citizens and friends of Lexington. Funding for this project was provided by premier sponsors Bill and Julie LaHue, Steve and Wilma Sellers, and the Lexington Tourism Commission, as well as more than 30 other community sponsors. Additional funding was provided by the Sinkfield Charitable Foundation and the MU School of Music, with special thanks to Robert Shea, by Lafayette County Live Healthy, Live Well, Union Pacific Foundation, and the Richard S. Brownlee Fund of the State Historical Society of Missouri. Our thanks to the many other volunteers and supporters from the community of Lexington and beyond for their priceless contributions to this project.